coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
When I was like in my early 20s and a raging alcoholic.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
I'm gonna put the potatoes on the face and slather it in the...
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie has been rated PG by the Motion Picture Association of America.
Welcome back to Huntsville Home Video. Seriously, welcome back after last week's just meltdown.
Where do we go from here, from there?
I don't know. Apparently, I'm just here to listen to a movie review podcast, not dissect Jack's mom's issues.
I still don't know how to cope. Like, I feel like I need therapy from it. I need therapy to figure out how to be a friend to help you cope. I don't know what to do.
Ooh, man.
We got a lot out.
I learned a lot last week. I learned that all these years of movie watching was basically like a coping mechanism for a shitty mother.
The TV was your mother.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's all come full circle. Well, let me tell you why I loved Space Invaders so much. Because while I was watching it, my mom was gambling away my college education.
I can't revisit it again. I can't go through this again. Neither can the listener.
No, fret not, listener. No mommy issues this week.
Okay.
We do, however, have a bit of business to get to before we start our review of what might be the best worst movie ever. Leonard Part 6 is what we're going to be talking about this week. So last week or the week before, my wife finally started listening to our podcast.
Oh, how sweet.
Right?
Yeah. How nice of her.
For the first time in the 15 years that we've been together, she gives a shit about something that I do as like a side project or a hobby. So she started listening to it, and you remember way back, I believe it was in our very first episode in when we reviewed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Okay.
We talked about porn parody.
Yeah.
So my wife, who is an amazing giver of gifts... She comes to me after she listens to this podcast and she says, "Give this to Leanne."
I don't want it.
You got some
what
porn
is
parody.
It? Nightmare on Dyke Street. I can't.
It is a Nightmare on Elm Street porn parody. Hand that over here one second.
Okay. The note says, Leanne, sorry couldn't find my others. Heart, Rachel.
Yeah. She had the Munsters. This ain't the Munsters.
I'm just happy that it's still in the plastic wrapping.
Right, yeah. Has it even been viewed yet?
I wasn't even going to touch it if it was not in the plastic coating.
I'm going to read the synopsis.
That is hilarious.
Of Nightmare on Dyke Street, and I want to see if you can get the tagline. You ready?
Okay.
The women of Dyke Street are troubled. Troubled by nightmares unlike any they've had before. Images of men doing the most sensual things to them.
Oh.
And what's worse, they're beginning to like it. Nightmare on Dyke Street. This sleepy little town will never be the same. Sweet dreams.
Oh.
So from that description, could you write a tagline for that? Because there's one on here and it's amazing.
I don't think I could do it justice.
She's a dyke, but he ain't the little Dutch boy.
What is happening? I can't.
So that's a gift from my wife, Rachel.
That is a very sweet. Oh my gosh, look at the nightmare here that's on. Oh my god, and he's slaying with her smoking a cigarette. What is happening?
Look at his glove hand. Did you see all the
Yes.
It's not knives
oh,
on there.
Oh, it's not. Those are not knives.
Nope.
Oh my god. That is hilarious.
Right?
Wow. Fantastic gift giving.
My wife is awesome at that shit.
Oh, man. I was not expecting that.
No, and she gave me that last week, and she's like, here, bring this to Leanne. And I'm like, I am waiting till the next time we record a podcast, because I want her to be surprised by this.
You can visit their website at pleasureproductions.com.
That's a free plug, by the way. they better sponsor this podcast.
Do you know who it's written and directed by?
No.
Mad Dan Dan and Orgy Georgie.
Orgy Georgie.
Orgy Georgie.
That is a fantastic porn name.
The Lady Samantha Strong is the starlet in this Nightmare on Dyke Street, so check her out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Follow her on Insta. Wait, what year was that?
2008.
Eight?
Yes, 2008.
12 years old? Yeah, maybe. Maybe she's still got a career.
Yeah, maybe so. She might still be in the running.
Probably very milfy right now.
Right. Yeah. DVD, data production, 7/17/2008.
A good year for porn parody.
Is it?
I don't know. Maybe.
We'll ask Rachel.
she's got the hookup.
Thanks, Rachel. Can't wait to take that home and hide it somewhere.
Adorable that you're ashamed.
Isn't it great that my parents are coming to visit today?
It sure is. So, Leanne, what did you do before we got to town?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just sat here, never moved.
Good stuff.
That was hilarious and perfect.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yes.
I'm sure Rachel will love it as well. I'm sure she'll listen to this when the episode drops with a big old smile on her face.
Right. She'll at least listen to a few more minutes of this episode and then, you know, maybe move on.
Just kind of zone out, yeah. Because it is now time to talk about a movie that last week, the streak continued.
Right.
You loved The Frighteners.
Loved it.
And the streak of movies that you have loved was unbroken.
Right.
And I wanted to try to give you a movie that I think would have broken the streak.
Yeah.
So before we even start discussing Leonard Part 6, Leanne Foster, is the streak broken?
I'm so pissed at you. I'm so pissed I had to sit through this, and also that you own the Blu-ray version of this dumb-ass, stupid-ass, dumb-ass motherfucking movie. I can't take it. I didn't think I could feel any dumber than I already do on a daily basis, and then this shit entered my home, and I went, what the fuck is happening?
All right.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
Okay.
Delightfully so.
I will say, there are moments in it that made me laugh out loud.
There are a couple great moments.
There are a couple, because they're so bad. So I totally do see your point of it being so bad. You can't, you know, you kind of like it because it is so bad.
Right.
But it didn't have enough of those moments. It was so fucking terrible.
So let me hop on the full disclosure train here.
Right.
Okay. I have seen this movie at three different points in my life.
Okay, only three.
I've seen it way more than three times.
Okay, there's a problem, but keep going.
So let me explain those three points in my life. One, when I was very young, when I was a child. This movie came out in 1987, which would have made me about eight, nine.
Okay.
So to a nine-year-old, hey, it's a pretty entertaining movie. It's fun. It's got like animals, like killing people, and it's got like grenades that are paper thin, underarm rockets, just randomness to a dumb 8 year old.
Right.
All right. Cool.
Sure.
I saw that on video numerous times as a child. All right. Did not see it many years later, until many years later, when I was like in my early 20s and a raging alcoholic. But
during the period of time when the mommy issues really were setting in.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. When it was like Jaeger for breakfast.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Go out every Tuesday to buy DVDs. Oh, shit. Leonard 6. I remember loving this as a kid when my mom was gambling away my college education.
When this was all I had is love and affection.
Yeah. When Bill Cosby was still a good dude. So I bought Leonard 6 on DVD and watched it like, you know, drunk as shit. Because, like, there weren't many sober days in my 20s.
Right, okay.
And I was like, oh, man. I mean, it was all right. It wasn't as good as I remember as a kid. And then I also have this habit of buying DVDs that I have yet to watch.
Okay.
So, like, case in point, I still have a copy of Young Guns 2, which is a great movie. And I've watched it numerous times on, like, streaming platforms and whatever, but I have it on DVD under the pretense that, like, hey, I'm going to want to watch this someday.
Okay.
And I've never opened it yet. And when Leonard Part 6 came out on Blu-ray, I'm like, oh, shit, Leonard 6 on Blu-ray? Better upgrade that son of a bitch.
But here's my problem with that.
Yeah.
How did you find out that piece of information? Were you looking for it? Did you happen upon it? Like how did you realize it was on Blu-ray?
Like, I just found it in a...
You just found it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I was like, this is happening.
Because if you'd have sought it out, that's where, again, I would have had a problem.
Nope.
Okay.
Not seek it out. Just found it. And then when we decided we're going to review this, I fired it up. Again, having not seen it in many years.
Okay.
And now I am much more sober.
Right.
Much older, much wiser.
Some say.
And
mostly you.
And yeah, mostly me. In fact, only me.
Right.
And I gotta say, this movie's a piece of shit.
Right.
Yeah, like what the fuck was I thinking?
When you rewatched it, was there anything that did you still like it? Because it was so bad?
Okay, there are movies that are so bad that they're good.
Right.
This, I don't even think, is one of those movies anymore.
No, okay.
Like you said, there are bits, there are moments.
Mm-hmm.
So in the movie, the premise of the movie, mm-hmm. let's talk about this for a little bit, since this is what the listener truly wants to hear. They want us to divulge all of the plot points.
That's why they're here.
Of Leonard Part 6. Mm-hmm. So Leonard Part, there were apparently 5 other parts to Leonard before we even got to this one. We don't get to see them as is explained by the butler in the beginning of the movie.
Fran. Not even. At first, I kept calling him Frank, and then now I realize he's Frayn,
yeah.
Frayn.
Yep.
So there you go.
So there's that.
He's not American. Don't judge him.
He's basically our narrator for the film.
Yes, he is, and he lets us know that the reason why we haven't seen the other 5 installments was because of an issue of national security.
Right.
So he's been on many more adventures, but we can't talk about those.
Which, right off the bat, that's kind of funny.
Right.
Like, that's a pretty clever bit.
I do like it. Yeah.
But then it just quickly falls off the rails. Like, it goes pear-shaped.
Well, first, before you get a preview of what's going to happen throughout the movie, and you get these little bits of Bill Cosby dancing, and there's an ostrich involved, so you already know shit is going to hit.
Now, he's not dancing with the ostrich. The way you phrase that made it sound like he's dancing with an ostrich.
He was not dancing with an ostrich. I was trying to be vague here so that we could move on later to reveal the actual scene.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we learn that Leonard is a retired super spy.
Yeah.
He is now a restaurateur.
He is. And he's been retired because his wife left him.
Yep.
And so he got out of the biz. He thought, if I get out of the biz, and I guess in one of the other 5 episodes, you see that he was naked with some chick. But we can't talk about that because it's a matter
security.
Of national security. Yep. So they need to bring him out of retirement because these animals are killing off FBI agents.
Trained killer animals.
Yes.
And we're not talking like vicious bears. Sharks. We're talking rainbow trout.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the little funny moments is at the beginning of the movie for me when there's an FBI agent in his pool and they send off the the rainbow trout to go through the sewer or the pipeline to get to his pool, which can that happen? Because if that can happen, now I have a whole new irrational fear. Because I already have a fear. I don't know if you know this. Speaking of animals, if I have to go to the bathroom, I have to look into the toilet because I'm afraid that a snake is going to come up into my toilet.
That's
so, like,
fair.
In the middle of the night, I have to flip the light on. I have to take a peek because I need to know where I'm sitting, right? So now I have a new fear that a trout can come into a swimming pool that I'm possibly in.
Yes, a mind-controlled trout.
Mind-controlled trout. But anyways, while it's swimming to go to the swimming pool, it passes a Playboy that's in this pipe, and it goes past, and then it stops, and it swims back by, and it looks at the Playboy like, oh, and then it keeps going. That made me burst out laughing.
That was funny.
That little stuff like that makes me really, gets me really tickled.
So these are the moments, that was one of the moments that I vividly remember from this movie. Like, I remember it from seeing it when I was like 8.
Right.
I remember it in my drunk 20s. And it's still like, it's groan worthy,
yeah,
but it's funny.
It is funny.
And there's a couple of those moments, but they're few and far between in this movie.
They're not enough of them to make it a terribly bad movie. Like, you only get a couple of them, not enough.
And that's another problem with the movie too. The pacing of this movie is so all over the place.
You don't even get into it until, like, you worry about his marriage for so long before you get into the actual action. It was all over the place.
Yeah, so basically once Bill Cosby is recruited out of retirement.
Snyderburn, who I love from the remake of Cape Fear.
Yes.
I like that guy.
I'm impressed that you've seen the remake of Cape Fear.
Watched it just the other day because I love that movie.
Oh, shit.
Write that down. I've seen both that and the original.
And the original? Man, you are just becoming, I don't even know who you are anymore.
What a connoisseur of film I am.
I'm going to have to find a much dumber movie person to watch.
Oh, don't worry. I'll ruin the streak.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're good. So the FBI needs to recruit their best agent, which is Leonard, in order to kind of tackle this animals killing people problem, right?
Yep.
They've killed 8 FBI agents so far, I believe it was. So they send, who is it, Monroe, to go get him out of his restaurant, Leonard out of the restaurant, and this stupid ass gunfight ensues.
So dumb.
In the kitchen. And when we say stupid, we mean there's guns flying, but like the bullets kind of help out the cooks. Like the cooks don't get in a tizzy.
No one reacts to a dude with an Uzi running through the kitchen.
Right. He's running through the kitchen and like he'll shoot like a can of broth, and the cooks just hold up the pan and like, oh, we needed this broth. And then one knocks over like the parsley and they're like, oh, needed it for the sauce. Like, it's so stupid. And
so
then
dumb.
You have the magic bullet that just bing, 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 and then ends up getting Monroe.
Yeah. Shoots him in the back of the head.
And then there was a funny line about, he said, Monroe said something about he was there for the trout, or he wasn't there for the trout, which was the special, and something about trout and he was like, oh, are you here for the flounder? Like, it was just so dumb. It was just ridiculous. Ugh, this isn't about trout or something. Killed me.
So yeah, after he gets out, after he gets re-recruited.
Yeah.
We see some of his toys. Some of Leonard's toys in the secret spy game.
Right. What kind of car was that?
That was like
a sports car,
that's
right?
A Mazda tank?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like legit like a bullshit Mazda with a tank turret on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got, he has this weird psychic that he goes to that gives him random items for his missions.
Right. But before we get to all that, we have to do, because this was one of the other funny parts for me, and I don't know if it was for you, but this is kind of what I find funny. When Monroe ends up getting shot by his own magic bullet, right, he takes him back to the FBI boardroom or whatever it was. And the funniest part of the movie for me was when they all kept tripping over Monroe's body. He drags him in there and sits him down, and they're trying to convince him he needs to come out of retirement. And then every time somebody gets up, they trip like ridiculously over the body. I just thought that was so funny to me. I will say that.
I chuckled in that same scene when Snyderburn's trying to get
the
him
lights.
To, yeah. He's trying to get him to synchronize their little lamp lights.
Like, we could do better than that. Everybody turn them on.
Click, click.
Click, click.
Turn them off. Click, click, click. Much better.
Yeah. It was super good.
Like, I was curled up on the couch watching that, and this is the only noise I made. And then just right back to Leonard Part 6.
Yeah, absolutely. So that goes unsuccessful, though. He's not ready to come out of retirement, but they're like, your wife's not coming back to you. She's been away from you for 7 years. 7 years, I think it was. So she's not coming back. Then his daughter comes in. Then we have a daughter.
Yep.
Who is dating this old guy.
Older than Leonard,
which Leonard is super calm over this. More than he needed to be.
I think that was an acting choice on Bill Cosby, because this entire movie, he just does not give a fuck.
He does not act in the entire movie. Like, I thought maybe he would just be so over the dramatic and campy with it, but he was not. Like, he just literally was like, I'm not even going to put any effort into this whatsoever.
And he didn't.
No, because I feel like if he'd have been super over dramatic, it probably would have been funnier. Well, you know what I mean? Like, it would have been just so extravagant that it would have been funnier.
Well, so originally this movie was conceived of as a parody of all of the action movies, spy movies that were like dominated the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And
so like a Naked Gun kind of thing?
See, Naked Gun did it well.
Right,
like, you know,
exactly.
Like that's how things are done well.
Right.
This was not done well.
Mm-mm.
In fact, like Bill Cosby wrote the story
for this
movie. Yeah.
Produced it too.
Produced it, yep. And leading up to the release of the movie, he would say things, you know, in interviews and stuff. He's like, you know, this is like a high tech Rambo. Like, this is what this is going to be. Yeah. Like,
how dare he?
I know, right? Like, no. Like a high tech comic book character. Bill Cosby said he put stuff in the movie for women. He put stuff in there for kids, something that the whole family would like. All right. I don't think any of that happened.
No.
In fact, the movie, when it came out, universally panned.
Thank you.
Nobody liked it. Are you familiar with the Golden Raspberry Awards, the Razzies?
The Razzies, yes.
Yeah, so this movie earned all of the Razzies.
Oh.
And Bill Cosby actually denounced and disowned the movie.
You can't do that, though.
He did it.
You were too much of a part of it. You can't denounce it.
He did it. He considers it to be just like the worst thing he's ever done. And as we talked about last week.
He raped people.
He's done far worse than Leonard Part 6.
Right.
And I think we mentioned this last week, too. Bill Cosby actually bought the TV rights
he did.
To Leonard 6 so that he couldn't it couldn't be shown on TV.
Oof,
yeah.
Man, that's truly how bad this film is, guys.
It is, again, with the benefit of age and sobriety,
right.
This is a piece of shit movie.
Such a good moral piece of information.
Right? I have to asterisk that.
Right.
Wait, you liked Leonard 6? Well, yeah, the first time I was a kid, the second time I was a fucking drunk. Then I wised up and I realized it was a piece of shit.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
There is one bit that cracks me up. So whenever the brainwashed animals attack,
mm-hmm.
their code word is Quellish.
Yeah.
Like the bad guys will just say Quellish, and then these animals will just descend.
Yes.
So there's a bit where an FBI surveillance guy is hanging outside the evil lair.
Which is International Tuna.
International Tuna.
Why did they put such emphasis of the lights blinking on and off? Was there a point to that?
If there was, it went over
my head. I missed it. Okay.
Because
I was like, well, they're spending a lot of time on this. Is there a point? But I don't think there was.
No.
Mm.
And so the bad guys catch on to the surveillance and Quellish. What are they going to send after him? Like 100 frogs that get under his car and hop it into the creek or the river or whatever fucking body of water is right by them.
I will say I was not expecting that, because I thought the frogs were just going to attack him, but they did something so much better than that. Like, I will say that's where that was that high point where it was like, you got me on that one, because they hop the car and then the special effects are so funny.
They're so bad.
Like the color green changes on the car. Like it's literally like something you would have made in paint on the computer. You know, it's what it looks like. And they hop it in and then the FBI agent's just against the window and just drowns in the car. Like,
yep.
It's just so.
Like, he couldn't have, like, gotten out?
Didn't even try to break out.
No.
He's gone.
What kind of bitch agent is that?
So you had frogs. They also mentioned squirrels got an agent. Gophers got an agent.
Yep.
Other, you know, the rainbow trout.
Yeah.
Like, no big bad sharks or anything.
No, just, like very, you know, normally docile animals.
Right.
We're going to make them killers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, again, something for kids, something for women. I wanted something for everybody in this movie.
Right. So we kind of get back to Leonard's personal life, and he goes to have dinner with his wife, because this is the big deciding point, because you take so long, again, you take so long looking at his personal life to get to the meat of the story, which was very odd.
And there ain't a lot of meat in this story.
There's not, but...
It's a lot of gristle.
There's a lot of gristle that you're gnawing on. But he ends up having dinner with his wife, who lives across... I did like getting in the car. I guess I like more about it than I thought, but like they got in the car and his driver drives him across the street to go have dinner with his ex-wife to discuss the daughter issue. But it's very clear that this is not going to work out. So that's when Leonard decides he's going to get back into the field.
And it's decided that it's not going to work out with the wife, where it's a very awkward scene of him just getting food poured onto him.
Right. Which the maids, there was a maid and a butler, and they were like, "Hope to see you in the morning for breakfast, sir." Like, "Oh, hope things work out." And then she just serves him food but pours it all over him.
Yeah.
And he goes home, he's got shit all over him, and he's like, he's getting back into the thing.
And knowing what we know now about Bill Cosby, do you think like that did it for him? You think that was like a kink that got him going?
Okay, I'm glad you brought it up, because I brought it up. I was going to bring up the same thing, because at the end of the film, it gets even ridiculous. And I literally thought, I was like, is this what he did while the Quaaludes were working? Like, while the Quaaludes were dissolving, is this what happened in the meantime?
Like, just while the woman is slowly starting to pass out, he's just smattering on mashed potatoes like war paint.
I'm going to put the potatoes on the face and slather it on the...
So terrible. Oh, no. We're going to get canceled. We made it to episode 10.
This is episode 9.
Nine. That's right. Nine.
We haven't even hit double digits yet.
Oh, shit, man.
And we are now canceled.
Well, it's my favorite number, so that's fine.
Hey, fair enough.
Whatever works.
God damn.
So it kind of turns into like this, situation where the butler's getting him ready, and he's got this ridiculous suit. This ill-fitting... Also, why is he sweating so much in the movie?
Always sweating.
He's super sweat. Like, no cool guy or superhero, you're never supposed to see them sweat.
Yeah, did they not have an AC on this?
I don't know what's
production?
Happening. I don't know if that was real. I don't know if that was intended, but it was terrible.
Yeah, super super sweaty.
Gross. Yeah. Disgusting. So he's... We've got the camo car with the launcher on. Oh, no. Before we get to that, he goes to his little, his Arabian, what is she?
Yeah, like the little psychic
the
or
fortune
whatever.
Teller.
The fortune teller that lives in a school bus.
Oh, he used to always go to her. He called her the nurse, right?
Yeah.
Before he went on any mission.
She'd always give him little trinkets that would save him down the road.
He can't communicate with her because they speak different languages.
Right.
But she gives him...
So the first mission, he gets ballerina shoes.
Yes. And a ring box. You don't know what's it. You just assume it's jewelry.
Yep.
We don't know yet.
And again, she doesn't give any kind of clear distinction of what this is for.
No.
Because, hey, you'll need this on your adventures.
Right. And she also has some shitty kids. We need to bring it up in every episode.
Agreed.
With how shitty we think people's kids are.
Yep.
This woman was no exception.
Yeah. Gypsy kids, the worst. Like, if you have kids, that's already a strike against you. If they're gypsies, strike 2 and 3.
Go fuck off.
Yep. Fuck out of here.
Stay in your group.
Stay in your bus.
Stay in your bus. We don't need you.
No, not even in a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. So, he gets all this shit and he decides to go to International Tuna, because we find out that what is allowing all these animals to be controlled is this very interesting sphere.
Yep. That's our MacGuffin.
What? MacGuffin?
A MacGuffin.
What's
a
MacGuffin?
A MacGuffin is an object in a movie that pushes the plot forward. So if you're looking for a particular object in a movie, if that's the reason that your plot is moving forward, that's a MacGuffin.
Oh, why such a goofy name?
I don't know. Really shitty movies have multiple MacGuffins, like Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Fuck you.
I don't even want to get into it. Because I've liked all of them. I don't even want to get into it. I don't want to get into Star Wars with you.
Maybe later.
Maybe.
All right. Maybe after we talk about the cinematic masterpiece that is Leonard Part 6.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Let's not jump the gun, shall we? Oh, goodness. So he goes to International Tuna, the headquarters, and we meet the bad gal.
Yep.
The lady behind all this, who is wearing these evening cocktail dresses. It's very odd.
Very elegant.
Very elegant.
Great name, by the way, Medusa Johnson.
Medusa Johnson, that's what it was.
Such a great villain name.
Right. And she was over the top crazy.
Oh, yeah. She was the best part of this movie.
Yes.
Like, she understood what movie she was in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What I also appreciated, and I kind of want to encounter this in my life where I can do this, but she would just be like, mango me. Yeah. And people would hand her a mango and then she was like, grape me, and somebody would hand her grapes.
Yep, that was a great bit.
That was my favorite part. So Leonard takes his Mazda tank and he goes to International Tuna, and he gets caught. He's trying to open up the door, and he's thrown all, like, these bombs. He's got those flat grenades.
Yep.
He's got rocket launchers underneath his arms.
He's got a collapsible bazooka.
Yes.
Fold-out bazooka.
Right. And nothing opens this door.
There was one. This is like, another bit that like, it got a heh out of me.
Right.
And that's when, like, after he just unloads this entire arsenal.
Yeah.
And the door doesn't even budge. Doesn't even have a dent in it.
Yeah.
Like, the smoke clears. The door's still standing there. And there's just Bill Cosby just kind of squinting. He's like, that's a thick door.
That's what it was.
that just cracked me up.
Right.
I think partially now because clearly we can tell Bill Cosby just did not give a shit.
No, it was said so plainly.
Yeah.
There was no, like, flair behind it at all. No funniness, just thick door.
Yeah. And we've already experienced some wackiness in the movie at this point. But now, mm-hmm. once he walks up to the door and it just opens, could have saved all of that.
Right.
All of that, that weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
He gets in and we're introduced to the vegetarians.
The vegetarians.
Which are like some Cirque du Soleil fucking nightmare.
Yeah, people with feathers and shit. It's
feathers
terrible.
And chicken heads, and they're just coming out with claws and dancing. And
with claws and dance moves.
Yeah.
And it's like this elegant ballet, which, what would help him with this?
Ballet shoes.
Oh my goodness. The fortune teller's on to something.
Old Twinkle Toes Leonard.
So then, can't even. He puts on the damn ballet shoes, and we have what is probably the worst scene and use of a double ever.
Horrible.
It's obviously a lady, right? It's got to be. I don't know.
Like,
it was so bad.
Yeah, so Leonard starts ballet dancing to counteract the vegetarians' ballet dancing.
Right, exactly.
And the camera's now kind of pulled back because, I mean, like, Bill Cosby cannot hit these professional Russian ballet moves.
Also, he does not have the body for that suit. I'm no one to speak, but I'm not wearing that suit.
Well, and not only that, but, like, the double was also clearly in much better shape.
Absolutely. It was, they made no effort to have any continuity whatsoever.
No.
Like, it was a totally different body. It was totally, just everything was different.
I have to imagine that at some point during the filming of this movie, they were just like, I mean, we really have a piece of shit on our hands. Let's
just do what we can.
I think maybe originally, like, Bill Cosby was supposed to do those dance moves, and they, like, comedically should have looked horrible. But then Bill Cosby on that day was probably like, you know what? I got a fresh one in the trailer. I'm a peace out.
Oh no.
I'm gonna let Twinkle Toes over there take care of this. I'll be back. Deuces. Rudy!
I can't.
9 episodes in, I have officially broken my co-host Leanne.
I got game close before. But you did it. You did it today. I need to play that again.
Boom.
I need to walk around.
Holy shit. You doing all right?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm fine.
Compose yourself. Get it together.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm crying. I can't take it. I couldn't. Oh my God. I mean, I knew we. I felt. I felt like we'd probably get here, but I wasn't prepared. Okay. Fresh one in the trailer.
That's the one that did it for you, huh?
Oh my God. And then I just kept going. Okay. All right, we're good. Holy God.
Bring it in. Bring it in.
Bring it in. Bring it down. Whew. What are we talking about? Okay. All right. So he gets the ballet shoes.
Yep.
And with this terrible double imposed ballet, he's able to get through the vegetarians.
he's able to combat them with the power of dance.
Right, with the power of dance. See, he couldn't fight them before. He had to be dancing while he fought them.
Yep.
And he tore them down. So he is trying to find the sphere. That's the main objective here. He needs to find the sphere. So he hides in a gaggle of ostriches, goes around, and he finds the sphere in a locked room covered in bees. So there's a problem here.
I wonder what's in that box that he got earlier.
Right. So we get the box out. Guess what's in there?
The queen bee.
The queen bee, baby. So follow this, kid. Science. He puts the queen bee in there. And also the noises of the bees, like, freaking out about the queen bee.
It sounded like they didn't have actual bee sound effects.
Right.
So it was just someone going,
apparently an aroused bee sounds like,
yeah.
Now we know. So the queen bee stirs him up. He opens up the door, the queen bee leaves, and the other bees follow her, because that's nature, kids. So he's able to grab the sphere. Also, the bees end up getting some of the other vegetarians.
Yep.
Right?
They take some of them out.
They take some of them out. And there's also, that move with the boomerang, that was another terrible moment where one of the vegetarians grabs the boomerang that was on his back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he goes to throw it at him. And I don't know if it was supposed to be slow motion or what this was, but his move to deflect, it was
super
terrible.
Awful.
It was
super
so
awful.
Bad.
Not a single good effect in this movie.
Right. And so the boomerang hits the vegetarian. Oh, and also this could have been another funny line, but he said it so dry. He was like, now don't you fall on that thing, kid.
Yeah.
It could have been so much funnier, but just no acting.
Nah, none.
Oh, my gosh.
He gets out. He takes a bullet in the getaway.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes back to his lair, his home, to do surgery on himself.
Yeah. He goes in there and he's like, prep for surgery. So Frank gets everything ready, and he's the one performing his own surgery.
Yep, taking his own bullet out.
Taking his own bullet out, and we have Frank as the narrator, and he's talking about how Leonard just starts drinking the whiskey, right? And Frank's like, this is a highly calculated amount, enough to, you know, stop your nerve endings, but enough to keep your mind clear. Like,
yeah, just giving you the play-by-play of Bill Cosby shotgunning a bottle of whiskey.
Right, just shotgunning it in order to do his own surgery effectively to remove the bullet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And while this is going on, his daughter, who is in a play, she comes in and she wants him to read reviews of the play while he's just performing his own surgery. She's sliding the reviews under the bathroom door.
Right. The one thing that was funny was him sounding drunk trying to read through the reviews.
Right.
That was pretty good. He did that pretty well. He acted through that one. So then it cuts to them going to the play that the daughter's in.
Yeah, after this big action bit, we're just like, now at a play.
We are now at a play that the daughter is doing with her really old boyfriend, and you find out that she basically removes her clothes.
Yeah, just a striptease of a play.
Just gets naked in the play, and at first, Leonard doesn't look And then he does look, which is his own daughter naked on a stage. It was all very odd.
Right. Leonard not looking is Leonard in character. Him looking is Bill Cosby.
That was Cosby that popped out for sure. And so they go backstage, and I want to mention the backstage because here's another thing that tickles me, was when they all kept bumping into that light thing. They're going in and out, and each character kind of bumps their head.
Yeah, it's not a low-hanging light.
Yeah, it's a low-hanging light. And again, they're all getting frustrated because they all keep hitting this one thing. That kind of stuff tickles me.
That was, I mean, that was a good bit. That was a very Bill Cosby-style comedy bit.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, more of that, more of the quirky animal stuff probably would have made this still a shitty movie, but a better shitty movie.
Right, exactly. Higher regarded shitty movie.
Right.
So while... Leonard leaves because he's like, I'm not talking to her. I'm not watching the rest of the play. He goes to leave. In the meantime, I don't know what his name is. Lurch, one of the gross vegetarians.
Just the weird looking henchman.
Yes. The pale white dude, just terrible kind of quintessential bad guy, creepy guy. He ends up going into backstage and he ties everybody up and he takes Leonard's wife.
Bumps his head on the light first.
He does. I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
So he takes the wife. Leonard comes back in, realizes what happens, and now there is a dilemma because the guy's like, I will give you your wife back if you give me the sphere back.
And the sphere is now already in control of the CIA.
Right. They have it, and they're trying to use this piece of technology.
So Leonard goes to the lab
mm-hmm.
to try to retrieve the sphere. You think... that, like, you know, a high-regarded CIA agent could be like, hey, my wife was just kidnapped. I need to take this sphere.
Right.
I need to get it back. We'll have, like, a big operation, whatever. We'll take out the bad guys. You'll get the sphere right back. But no, that's not how Leonard likes to play.
No. He goes in, and he uses the test rabbits against Snyderman and all the rest of them and leaves with the sphere.
He quellishes his own team.
How did he know Quailish?
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 Quailish.
Quailish, whatever.
Quailish?
Same shit, only different.
Like, I like how you bougied up Quailish.
I thought it was Quailish. Quailish? Quailish.
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 Quailish. Quailish.
Quailish.
To make animals attack.
Okay.
Quailish.
Quailish. Quailish.
Yeah, so he basically just, like, takes these... rabbits and basically murders, we assume,
right,
his own team. Mm-hmm. Like, he murders the CIA for the sphere.
He does murder the CIA for the sphere. He gets it. He leaves. He and Fran leave with it, and he decides that he's going to set up a ruse, and he puts dishwashing liquid into the sphere because there's liquid in the sphere. It's green and blue and red, and he takes that out because that's supposed to be the power of the sphere, and he puts in dish soap for it, and he's going to take it back to International Tuna to Quailish the bad guys.
Quailish.
Quailish. Quailish. Whatever. The movie doesn't matter, and neither does my mispronunciation.
It does.
Okay.
Like, the one thing, the one thing that still works its way into my vernacular from this movie is when my dog is, like, just getting razzed up, you know, like, really vicious playing, you know, like, aggressive playing.
Right.
I'll be like, Quailish! It's funny to me. And only me.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that funny, buddy.
You know what? I never said it was funny to you. All I can do in this world is amuse the shit out of myself.
Right. That's all we're here for,
and,
you know?
You know, like when we first got Vic, our dog, when he was younger, you know, he had a leg humping issue, as some dogs do.
Uh-huh.
First time he got his first hump on Rachel's leg, I was like, Quailish! And Rachel's like, what the fuck are you saying? And then I had to explain it to her, and then she sat through Leonard 6, and she still married me.
Right.
Yeah.
What a testament to her.
Yeah, to have and to hold, and sickness and health, and shitty
for better
fucking
or
movies.
For worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm. For better or for worse movies of all time.
So, Frayn and Leonard are on their way to International Tuna when they realize that behind them is the fortune teller.
Yep.
So she does this little mind trick, and she swaps places with Frayn so that she can give Leonard some stuff for his mission.
And what a weird like, we thought the last batch of shit was weird.
Right, right. The first, what was the, butter?
Sticks of butter.
Sticks of butter, meat patties, and she made sure to tell him to let them thaw.
Let them thaw.
Yeah.
Let them thaw.
And a hot dog, a raw hot dog.
Yep.
Those are going to help him on his mission to International Tuna. So she ends up getting out of the car. He gets to International Tuna, and he sees his wife up in a cage. She's being held captive. In International Tuna.
I'll bet that did it for him. knowing what we know now about Bill Cosby.
No, she was still conscious, so no.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. You do raise a very valid argument.
She was able to speak words.
Point, counterpoint.
Oh, God. So the wife actually ends up being a hologram. Look at all this technology that International Tuna has,
right?
By the way. So the wife ends up being a hologram. They're like, the Medusa, she's like, no, I'm not giving you your wife back. I just want my spear back. And you think that you were smart by putting dishwashing liquid in it. It already had that in there.
Yeah, that's what was in there in the first place.
This part doesn't even matter.
Also, I do like the line of Medusa Johnson, you know, she when... Leonard wants his wife back, and she goes, the couple that dies together or spies together dies together. And he goes, my wife isn't a spy. She's like, shut up. I just needed a rhyme.
I needed a rhyme. Again, like you said, she knew what movie she was in.
Right.
She was perfect for that part.
Yep.
So they end up getting caught, or he gets caught. And he gets put in with his real wife, not the hologram wife, but the real wife.
Yep, they're chained up in a dungeon.
And here's something that grossed me out beyond all compare.
Okay.
The lobsters. There's something about a lobster or a crab. They are the grossest things to me.
Really?
With their, like, they've got antennas, like, and crawfish, too. Like, I can't take it. I can't take crustaceans.
Do you eat crawfish and lobster?
I can't eat lobster, but I just want the lobster. If I see the whole lobster, I can't do it. I can't do it. Like,
okay.
My family, you know, is one of those like, hey, we got a bunch of crawfish. Let's sit and eat them and, you know, pull them apart. And I'm just like, ugh.
You're out.
I can't. The antennas. It's something about that. I can't.
Interesting. All right.
I can't take it. So they're in this dungeon kind of thing, and here comes these lobsters.
So this movie went from shitty attempt at comedy to just horror.
Horror, for sure. Right. Like, it's just, they're so gross to me. I can't take it. So I was literally panicking watching this part of the movie with these stupid attack lobsters. But Leonard finds out that they're, and here was another line that would have been so funny. He was like, where are your rubber bands, boys? So he ends up using the butter. The sticks of butter.
Which have become melted.
Right. And they're threatening the lobsters to be able to use them to cut their restraints.
So another point at which Leonard Six has entered into the real world for me. Legit every time I go to Red Lobster, and if I get lobster, I just ladle it up and I'm like, melted butter, melted butter.
No, you don't.
Yes. Yes, I do. And again, no one gets it. Rachel just thinks I'm very passionate about my buttered up lobster. Nope, I'm quoting Leonard Six, motherfucker. What?
That's brilliant. Put that on a business card. Put that on your bio.
Okay.
So, yeah, they use the melted butter as a tactic to get them to cut the restraints to get out.
Not only to cut the restraints, but it also makes the lobster retreat.
Right.
They start to back up. And we're not talking about like a couple attack lobsters. There's hundreds of them.
Right.
And they just like all start backing up at the sight of melted butter.
Oh, my God. It's just so, again, you're thinking, how does this movie exist? Well, it do.
It do.
It do.
It sure do.
So Medusa is getting the animals ready to assemble. To take over the Bay Area or the world.
Just starting with the Bay Area, going yeah. worldwide.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved the possums in Piedmont are ready, you know. Yeah. They have this whole command center thing. And then, let's see, the wife rides in on a horse, doesn't she? Is this where we have the ride in on the horse?
Yeah, because once they get out, they go into a stable. They take out the jockeys, whatever. They suit up.
Yeah, which now she has a suit.
Yeah.
Now they both have suits. Yeah, they have to suit up first. They can't do it in civilian clothes.
Well, no, they took the jockey suits from the stables. They didn't.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, that's right. I forgot that part. Yeah,
It's understandable. So it's okay. I'll forgive you for this one.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. And so Leonard is in the headquarters. I can't stop laughing at this stupid ass movie. So he gets into the headquarters there, where all the stuff's going on, all the technology's going on, all the buttons are, and he's got to fight off these vegetarians. How does he do it? With the thawed out meat patties, because they're scared of meat.
There's a big sign that says no meat. And he's like, oh, that's how I'm going to beat these vegetarians. And you're thinking, again, like the lobster, is this going to cause him to retreat? But no, the touch of a thawed out beef patty causes them to burn up.
It causes them to burn. And also one of them brands them like USDA certified meat. Oh, so good. So he throws the beef patties at him, and then at one point the big guy from the movie theater, he comes in and he's like, meat's not gonna bother me. So Leonard comes out with the raw hot dog, and the guy takes a bite of it like it's no big deal, and then his head which great effects though. It was so bad, it was so good.
Yeah.
That's the one part. And his head just stretches out and it explodes because he ate the raw hot dog.
Now you talk about lobsters freaking you out.
Mm-hmm.
I hate hot dogs.
Okay. Like, understandable.
I have not eaten a hot dog. I don't know when the last time I had a hot dog was. Probably like the last time I saw Leonard, or the first time I saw Leonard 6, probably, when mm-hmm. I was like 8. Just that was kind of grossing me out. So him wagging that.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Oh, every time I see it, I just want to throw up in my mouth. Just thinking about it. Gross.
Oh, so let's see. We have that encounter, and then we get back to Medusa.
So she runs and tries to get she runs with the sphere to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard takes out the rest of the vegetarians. The wife gets out on the horse.
Yeah.
Medusa's husband, who's just this weird
Andy,
just this weird side character who's in a wheelchair. All he wants to do is just kill Leonard the whole movie. Like anyone that shows up, kill him.
Right. So he's disabled. He's in a wheelchair. And there's at one point in the movie where she explains the technology that she's created, that she's done. And she's like, I had to start from nothing. She was a self-made woman. She tried to pitch her ideas and nobody took her seriously. So she says she had to start using his disability money to start this empire. I was like, what?
So he gets the drop on Leonard. He starts shooting at him.
Right.
And like just out of nowhere, just gets jettisoned into like his wheelchair catches on something.
Yeah.
And he flings forward into the mind control liquid.
Right. Into the goo.
And it's like half of him that like from the torso up, he's just like he has. Yeah. Like what the hell? Like his whole body doesn't fall into the liquid.
No.
It's just his top half.
Ugh.
And then Leonard just throws Alka-Seltzer in.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was one of the other things that he got was these Alka-Seltzer tablets. And so he threw them into the goo and it starts bubbling.
Yeah. So
right?
It's this chain reaction, this chemical reaction.
So he just starts throwing seltzer tablets into the red, blue, and the green goo. And so it's bubbling and causing things now to explode. So now International Tune is about to implode.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to get out.
He needs to get out. The wife got out on the horse. Everybody else is safe except for him. So he finds an ostrich. We get a call back to the ostrich.
Ostrich from the beginning of the movie.
Right. So he ends up getting to the top of the building and he jumps off of the top of the building. He's riding the ostrich. Do ostriches fly though? Like, cause that ostrich maintained some height there for a minute. Like I thought it was going to take off and fly, but I don't think they fly.
No,
they land birds.
Yeah.
So
yes, they land birds.
They land birds. So, it just kind of, it kind of holds, but then it flutters him down to the ground.
And again, very shitty effects.
No, it's so
like the particular effect on this one, like Leonard's head is 3 times its normal size.
Yeah.
Did you catch that? Just weird. Very off-putting.
Very, very, very terrible. But he gets out with the help of the ostrich. Medusa dies with her invention, an international tuna. And then the family is reunited.
And we're thinking, all right, you know, happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Leonard is, you know, gets back together with the wife. She loves him again.
Yeah. They go to the restaurant to celebrate.
Let's have dinner. let's close it out with some dinner.
Right. So they have a private party at his restaurant.
Yep.
Because if you remember, he became a restaurateur. And he says to the chef or the waiter, my wife will be serving dinner tonight. And so what does she do? She pours the soup all over him like the previous scene.
Just ladles it on.
They're laughing. Then I think he grabs the spaghetti and he puts it on himself.
Yeah.
Like just dumping food and they're laughing. What did that have anything to do with anything?
Just so random.
Just so shitty. And what? Again, that's where I had the thought of, is this part of the ritual? It's this part of it.
Gives her the roofied up pudding pop. Oh, come the spaghetti monster. Oh,
no. Spaghetti monster.
Fuck. We both have horrible Cosby impersonations.
Oh. They are terrible.
They are terrible. Not unlike Bill Cosby, the human being.
Whew, right, exactly.
Horrible.
Exactly. That was kind of the end. We get an update on the daughter. She then decided to go work for Greenpeace.
Yep.
We have that little nugget of information. He and the wife reconcile, and that is the end of Leonard Part 6.
We have wrapped it up. Now, initially, mm-hmm. going into this movie, you know, like you've always said during this podcast, you want to have a movie that I like that you hate so we can go back and forth. Really thought I liked this movie better than I did. So like we couldn't even really, I can't argue with anything that we've talked about.
Right.
So kind of the streak continues.
The streak does continue.
Yeah.
Also, it did make me laugh though. Like there were parts of it that were so bad that you couldn't help but laugh.
Right.
Unfortunately, there weren't enough of them to make it kind of that spectacular, terribly bad, funny movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now having, again, seen this movie sober and of like a decent age, I don't think I ever need to watch this one again.
That's what I was going to ask. I will never watch this movie again. I've got one under my belt. I don't need another one. I was going to ask you if you felt the same way, like if this is kind of the end of the Leonard 6 era of your life.
I'm kind of done and over it.
Okay.
I think I'll always be stuck with that DVD, though. I don't think anyone's going to buy that.
You can put that sumbitch in a yard sale, but it ain't going nowhere.
Maybe when we start a Patreon for this podcast. The first $5 donor is going to get my copy of Leonard 6.
There you go. Personal copy.
Yeah. Straight from the library of Huntsville Home Video.
I'm glad I watched it, though.
Yeah?
I'm glad I watched it, and I feel like it would be exciting if I did meet another person like you who would throw out the melted butter thing and I knew where it was from. If I could, I feel like it would be super justified if at some point in my life I catch a reference to it and I get it. It would be the most awesome thing.
Let me tell you, we are a very small club.
Okay, right.
And I have been amongst people when mm-hmm. I said the word Quellish one time and like just a head snap. Like, what the fuck did you say?
Yeah.
Like, Quellish. Like from Leonard 6? I'm like, any other fucking movie say that shit? Just high fives, instant best friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those are moments that I love when I can understand a reference that's very, very rare.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm waiting now for the rest of my life for the one. So really this movie impacted my life very much because I'm like, I'm going to be waiting for the time when I can understand a reference from it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now there are movies that are, again, like we talked about, that are so bad that they're good.
Mm-hmm.
I think most recently the movie that gets a lot of that praise is The Room. Did you ever see that?
The Room.
That's the one, the dude, like the famous clip is like, oh, you're tearing me apart, Lisa. And they made James Franco made The Disaster Artist about the making of that movie.
Yes. Heard about it, never seen it.
So that's one of those movies, like that movie is just a straight up piece of shit.
Okay.
Like it's an awful fucking movie. Horribly acted, horribly paced. It's one of those movies that you have to watch in a theater with people that will make fun of it.
Okay.
All right. Leonard 6 doesn't even get to that level. This is just a shitty movie that I liked as a kid.
Right.
And thought it was better,
mm-hmm.
and now it's over.
Ah, does it hurt your heart a little bit?
If there was anyone in there other than Bill Cosby, no, but that dude's a monster, right. So I don't really give a shit. In fact, it was even hard watching that movie, just mm-hmm. knowing like who he is as a person now.
Yeah, it's hard to watch anything Cosby.
The same thing goes to a certain extent for Kevin Spacey movies as well.
I know.
Which sucks because he was in much better movies than Bill Cosby.
Such an insanely talented actor.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Fine. Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts the heart.
Yeah, so watching Leonard with Bill Cosby, again, just, you know, got a fresh one in the trailer. Like, that probably happened. Like, statistically speaking, that probably happened on... Maybe that's why he was sweating so much. In the entire movie.
Maybe.
Yeah. Hey, we need Bill on the set. Where is Bill? God, he spends so much time in his trailer. What is he doing there all the time?
Oh, no. That's so bad.
It is. It's horrible. I am a horrible person. I've made peace with it long ago. Just embrace it.
I embrace you, Jack. Okay. I embrace your shittiness.
All right. And in the process of making you a more enlightened being through cinema, uh-huh. I'm also making you a much shittier person.
I know.
I know. You seem so happy about it.
Isn't it exciting?
Ooh, it's so great. I can't wait for Christmas so my family can see what a piece of shit I am.
Right? They're visiting today. I wonder if they have any idea.
They're about to find out.
Oh,
my
man.
Goodness. Well, that wrapped up Leonard 6 for us. So now... I feel we should probably watch a good movie.
We should watch a good movie, and I've already picked one out.
Oh, shit. What do you got?
I want to watch, because you rave about this movie, ooh. And it's been on the list. It's one of the first ones I think you put on the list, and we've kind of moved things around as we've gone. But I want to watch one that you hold high in regard, Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yes.
I'm ready for it.
You've
teased me so long with that movie. I'm ready for it.
See, I had to throw you down to the depths of Leonard 6 shittiness to raise you up.
Yes.
And give you what is my second favorite movie of all time.
Your second favorite movie?
Second favorite.
We've covered number 4 with True Romance.
Yep.
That so far has been still my favorite one of the podcast.
All right.
So now we're going to your second favorite movie.
Yeah, you've seen my favorite movie, Jaws.
Right.
Like, I love Jaws, so we'll probably never get around to that one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of you for having seen that. Kudos.
Thanks.
What about Jaws 2, 3, and 4?
Yep.
Seen them all?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm pretty sure I've seen 4. I know I've seen 3. I know I've seen 2. I'm sure I've seen 4.
4 is such a piece of shit.
Okay. Well, maybe that's why I blocked it out.
Why you should. Why you should.
Right.
So yeah, Big Trouble in Little China. Let's do it. It's a John Carpenter movie. This mm-hmm. will be the second John Carpenter movie
mm-hmm.
we've reviewed on the podcast after They Live.
Yep.
Episode 2. Go check it out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Plug.
Big Trouble in Little China. Kurt Russell. Kim Cattrall.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a Sex in the City watcher?
I was not.
No?
Do I seem like a Sex in the City gal?
I don't know.
Okay.
Like you, no. you women things are into weird stuff. Women folk.
No,
chicks.
That was not me.
Not your jam?
Not my jam, no.
Rachel, my wife, loved that show.
Really?
Yeah, she was all about that show.
Maybe I should check it out. I don't know.
Well, like, I mean, Rachel did just give me Nightmare on Dyke Street on
right.
DVD.
So far, she has great recommendations.
Yeah. Well, next week, we review Nightmare on Dyke Street.
No, I can't.
We'll save that one for Halloween next year.
Perfect.
All right. Yeah, Big Trouble in Little China. I am excited for this one.
Mm-hmm.
We're knocking out the top, my personal favorite top 10.
Yeah.
Like, quickly at this point. We've already, you know, knocked out 2 movies so far. What are some of the other flicks have you ever seen Ocean's 11?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, wasn't there an original one?
There with Frank Sinatra.
With Frank Sinatra.
With
was Dean Martin in that one too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I've never seen that one, but I've seen the one with George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
Okay, so that one's in my top 10.
Okay.
You've seen Goodfellas, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're okay.
Okay, sweet.
One of my favorite movies is Casino.
Also another great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you're kind of ruining the image of this person who's never seen any fucking movies. You kind of blew my mind last night, too, because I've been bookmarking shows on streaming platforms.
Yes, I'm glad you brought this up, because I'm so proud of myself.
And I was like, oh, Leanne is, I'm certain she's never seen this, and I'll bookmark it, and I'll save it for later in case I forget about it. And I was like, hey, when we ever get around to a Tom Hardy movie, I'm sure you've never seen Bronson. She's like, oh, no, I've seen that. I love it. I'm like, holy shit. What the hell?
Do you know the only reason why I watched it?
Tom Hardy?
I found out that he was naked in the movie. And I literally told our coworker, Shay, I went, I'm going home to watch Tom Hardy naked because it's on Netflix now. And I went home and watched Bronson. Don't remember really what the movie was about. He was a criminal. He like fought all the time and shit. He tried to get out of prison, but then he fought. I don't know. He was naked.
Based on a real dude.
Yes. I know he was a real guy.
So that guy, the real guy wrote workout books. And you can buy them on Amazon right now. There is one, I shit you not, it is called Working Out in Confined Spaces, and it's how to work out in solitary.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's fucking amazing.
I just want to own it.
Yeah.
I really want to own this.
Like Amazon right now, go hit it up. If you can get like naked Tom Hardy out of your mind long enough to do it.
Yeah, but I have seen it.
So that was one that you have seen. And then I thought another one when we eventually get around to like a creepy crawly movie again. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'm sure you've never seen Arachnophobia.
Seen it. I was a kid when I saw it, too.
Man.
It scared me so bad.
Just reckon.
But John Goodman was such a good character in that movie.
I mean, John Goodman is good in like just about anything.
Right. Yeah. I adore him.
He's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you and your snootiness. Your pretentious movies.
Again, though, remember, I've not seen, like, I've only seen three, you know, Avengers movies or Marvel movies or whatever.
There is that.
It is bad. Like there are a few gems here and there, but overall, it's still pretty bad.
Yeah. Batting 1,000 anymore, but still high percentages.
Right.
Okay. So next week, my number two favorite movie of all times. Okay. I'm very curious to see what you think. Because, again, True Romance, my fourth or fifth favorite movie. You loved that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to get you into my second favorite movie and have you hate it.
I'd hate to hate it as well, because I feel like I don't know how we'd get past it, to be honest.
That would be, so this will be episode 10. Episode 11, Leanne might be replaced. You may have been canceled this episode from your rude comments and your hateful whatever.
Right. Oh, no. That's so scary. Well, we had a good run.
Nothing lasts forever.
I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great. And you never know. Maybe, possibly, she'll like Big Trouble in Little China, and I'll keep her around for a little while.
Earn my keep around here.
Yeah, that's right.
By liking
exactly.
Your shit.
So we will be back 1 week from today, or on Monday, depending on whenever you check this podcast out.
Right.
On Apple streaming platforms, Spotify, anywhere else you can find a podcast. We are on that shit.
We're there invading those airwaves with pure nonsense.
All up in that podcast life.
Scumbaggery at its finest.
Yes. That's our new tagline.
Mm-hmm.
Scumbaggery at its finest.
Let's put that on a t-shirt.
You should also follow us on social media. We like to keep things posted. We also, I have found out that we have people that listen to us in Australia.
Really, mate?
Oh, not anymore.
Did I ruin it?
Now you just pissed them off.
Come on.
Now they're gone.
No.
Man, I liked our...
No, liked Steve Irwin was a hero of mine. Just calm it down, everybody.
It was great to have listeners
let's
in.
Sit down and just have some shrimp on the barbie and let's just talk this out, shall we?
Well, I enjoyed our listeners from Australia. Thanks for...
Look, wait a minute.
Out.
Hold on. If we didn't deter them from the terrible, terrible talking of rape...
That's what they like. That's huge for that demo. They love rape jokes.
You can't say what I did was bad and just say that those people love rape jokes.
Sure I can.
And not what?
I don't know how. I mean, I didn't like check my privilege at the door or something. I don't know.
Damn.
Whatever we need to do to get Australia back in our good graces, let's make that happen.
If it's more rape jokes you want, we'll provide them.
I mean, it was a nation that was founded as a colony of, like, prisoners and rapists. I mean, that's not untrue.
Oh, my God.
The same could be said for America.
Right,
so,
exactly.
To be fair.
from pot to the kettle. Oh.
Man, maybe I won't be back for episode 10.
I know, 10. Maybe you'll get canceled.
Let's find out. But yeah, so what I was going to say was follow us on social media.
Yeah.
Way less rapey.
Yeah, we don't really dive into rape on our social media.
Yeah, like not we don't delve into the...
No.
Yeah, we keep it safe for work.
We keep it tasteful there.
We like to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard the gushing of Gary Oldman sound clip that Leanne put together on the True Romance episode, but that is on social media. You can find that on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram.
Gonna be honest, that's one of my favorite things that I've ever made in my life. If you thought I laughed hard here on this episode, I laughed so hard getting that together.
Brilliant.
Gary fucking Oldman. I would shit myself if Gary Oldman showed up. It still, was so good.
Still holds true. Still... have not received a phone call from Gary Oldman.
Okay, well, I'm working on it, all right? It doesn't just happen overnight.
Calm it down. Bring it down.
I do what I can.
And you do it well.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Follow us on social media at HSV Home Video, Huntsville Home Video. You can find us on Gmail if you just want to file a complaint after all the shitty discussion we've had today. HSVHomeVideo@gmail.com. Get in touch with us. We had a few people comment about movies that they would like to see us review.
Yeah.
One recommended The Getaway with Alec Baldwin.
Never seen it.
Perfect.
Okay.
So we're back on track.
Yeah.
The theme of the podcast continues. Leanne has not seen The Getaway with Alec Baldwin. We'll probably review that one of these days here soon. But next week, we will be back for Big Trouble in Little China.
I'm really excited about this one.
Oh, me too. Until then, be kind, don't rape, and rewind.
Can't.